This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel and patriotic music and songs that just plain lift your heart, most all of them with a definite Western flair. I so admire the lady we have with us today, and I am really looking forward to sharing her and her wonderful music with all of you. But before we bring her on, let's listen to one of her signature songs, He's Courtin' Annie.
Cowboy coffee just to keep his hands warm. Stares into the campfire. He'll see his Annie soon. Now that the cattle drive is over, he'll pick up his pay feeling proud. Saddle up his favorite pony and ride into town. 'Cause he's courting Annie with a wildflower bouquet. When he gets to her door, he'll wander no more. He won't ride away. 'Cause when he thinks of Annie and her wild blue yonder eyes, he knows he's lucky. 'Cause he's courting Annie. Cookie fills his tin cup up and hands him his biscuit and beans. Laughs when he hears about the cowboy's plans and points out the rip in his jeans. He'll have to fit polish his cowboy boots and dig out that old string tie. And when the cowhands start to tease him, he'll just look up and smile, saying he's courting Annie with his hat. But he won't ride away. 'Cause when he thinks of Annie and her wild blue yonder eyes, he knows he's lucky. 'Cause he's courting Annie. Last summer she said she might be his.
I was introduced to this gifted artist's music before I actually got to meet her, but I was hooked from the get-go. And her awards range from a coveted Grammy nomination to Female Performer of the Year by the Academy of Western Artists and Song of the Year and Songwriter of the Year by a Western Music Association. In fact, she's actually a founding member of the Western Music Association. Her music is iconic in the Western music world, and she's absolutely one of the most talented and humble and precious people I know. And I am beyond delighted to welcome to today's show Joyce Woodson. Welcome, Joyce.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you so much for your compliments. That just fills me up. I appreciate it.
Deserved far and far more, but we only have an hour, so I can't go into all of it. Oh, my gosh. You're just such a and I first heard your He's Court Nanny. Jean Prescott recorded it, and I heard it on her album, and just it took me right back to my childhood and the cowboys that I was around. Aww. I mean, you just captured those guys so perfectly in that song. I knew that I had to record it as well, so I actually had that recorded on my first album. Mm-hmm. And your music is so sought after. It's just so wonderful. But I think we actually first met was at the WMA, wasn't it?
Yes, they were holding the yearly WMA the Western Music Association gatherings in Tucson. And I'm sure that's where we met. And I must have been singing it somewhere, or you heard it from Jean Prescott's version. I'm not sure.
I did. Yep, that was the first version. Yeah. Yes, but I was so excited when I got to meet you in person, because for some reason I thought that Jean had written that. And so when I found out that she hadn't, and I was like, okay, I got to meet the lady that wrote this song. That was just, I was so excited to get to meet you. You were living in Nashville at the time.
Well, now see, 96. Gosh, was I? I guess I was. Yes, you're right. I had just moved to Nashville. That's right. I moved in 96. So, and you put out your album in 97, right? Last of the San Joaquin. Yeah. How exciting. I was flattered beyond heck, you know, and you have such a gorgeous voice. So, you know, what's fun is hearing someone else sing the song to me. I hear different levels, and the charm of it really comes through when you sing it, so I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, well, I've lived it. You know, to me, when I sing it, I'm living it. You know, I'm seeing the cowboy. I'm smelling the coffee. I'm just watching his face as the guys are teasing him about the girl. I mean, I've seen cowboys do that to other cowboys.
You know? And people ask me how I got into cowboy stuff, and you know, I was born and raised in San Juan Capistrano, which is a small town here in the just north of San Diego, about 60 miles, and it's ranch land. It's been large cattle ranches all around here for over a century, and there are pockets of ranches still working. And you'll see cowboys come into town on their horses, literally, and come to the local saloon, even now, even though it's very built up. Mm-hmm, seriously. And once in a while, I'll be, like, I live on El Camino Real, so once in a while, I'll hear some hoofs, and I'll look out the window, and there's a couple of people either pleasure riding or cowboys just coming into town, you know. So it's around me. It was sort of a natural feel, you know. I grew up on a farm here, so we were in the valley growing vegetables, but up on the hills were the cattle growing. You could see them up on the hills when I was growing up.
That is so you grew up, and this is like when the swallows come back to Capistrano, San Juan Capistrano, right?
Exactly.
You know, the famous swallows. And
The center of the town is the Mission San Juan Capistrano, where the swallows come back. They fly all the way from Argentina, one of the longest migrations of birds in the world. And
wow.
They come here. They come to Southern California in general, but they sort of clustered around the mission for a long time because it was the only building for quite a while there. So the mission became famous for those swallows. But it's a cute little town, and I love that I got to come back to it, you know. So this is where a lot of the songs came from, was from growing up here.
Right. And so tell us about what your childhood looked like. You said you grew up on a farm. What did you guys grow, and what did your childhood look like?
I had three siblings, a brother and two sisters, a mom and dad, and my dad was always working on the farm. We had a small truck farm, they call it, where he would grow vegetables and then crate them, pack them, crate them, and literally truck them into Los Angeles to the market there to sell at night. He would drive it in and the next day go back. So he would he was such a neat guy. He had grown up farming, so that was all he did. We did vegetables, spinach for a long time. We did some turnips once, bell peppers 1 year. But one of the big cash crops for him was the spinach, and also another cash crop for him was radishes, just fields and fields of radishes. Believe it or not, he found a market, I think this Japanese market, that wanted these certain round, perfect radishes, and he would drive them up to L.A., and he made a good living doing that. And So I, when it came time to name my record company, well, you know this story, right? I named my record company Radish Records, because he was so successful. I thought,
I did not know that.
Yeah, Radish Records. And my dad loves it. I told him I named my record company Radish Records. He thought that was so funny. But he's a dear heart. And so he was on his tractor during the day working out, or in the barn welding machinery or repairing tractors. And my mom was a housewife and mother to us. And we lived about a mile outside of town. And you know, we had school nearby, and right next door, school in the middle of town, and right next to our elementary school was the Presbyterian Church, and we all went there on Sundays, and very much a center of community life. Most of my school friends went there, and that's where I got in the church choir. I think I was age 9 or 10 when I got in it. And I learned to sight read music and sing quite a bit of variations of amens, which I really loved doing. Like they would have us singing amen, and so we did it in three-part harmonies, and we're just little kids, you know. But we had rehearsal and we would learn how to sing these hymns, and it was quite a treat. And that was the first experience when I remember singing, I think it was a Christmas carol on a special Christmas service, and I looked out, and I was just singing with a little choir. There's probably about 8 of us, you know, little kids, and my mom was in tears. And I said, Mom, afterwards, I said, Mom, why are you crying? And she said, you just were so beautiful. She just was so moved by seeing her little girl sing Christmas carols in the choir. You know, that's an early experience of singing and connecting to people in the audience, you know.
Wow. Well, now, having been raised in the church, I know especially when I have guests on the first time, I like to find out. For me, I wasn't raised in church.
Mm-hmm.
I found the Lord as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And up until then, God was like this big somebody out there, you know, going to bonk you on the head when you did bad kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was huge to me to find out, to figure out that you could have this really intimate, wonderful, personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point in your life did you become aware of that?
More of a personal relationship. I would say when I was a child, I got the basics, you know, with Bible school and learning stories.
Right.
Getting the foundation of where the Word of God came from and what Christ taught. And it wasn't until later, maybe in my late 20s, when I faced adversity in life. And I had to figure out where to turn. And you know, my friends couldn't help me, books couldn't help me, and I turned to prayer. And I would say, at any point when it was when life got really hard, it's funny. It's almost as if it's just a, it was like for me a reminder to go back to my relationship with God, so that mm-hmm. I would not be alone. I would not have to walk alone. And I think probably the most profound example of that was when my mother was sick with cancer, and much later, and learned to walk with God through that, and with a wow. cheerful heart, and brought cheerfulness into her life through all the chemotherapy, and followed what the Bible taught, which is to honor your mother and father. So I took her through all her treatments and stayed with her.
I do want to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later, but I want to want to get into that. That's okay, but I do want to get into that a little more depth, and so I want to make sure we have time for that. But before we move along here, I would like to do another one of your songs.
Oh, good.
And this is a sweet little song called 10 Cents a Ride. Can you set that up for us?
Oh, my gosh. I was working at the county fair at a booth selling music books, and there was this fellow who would go to his booth down a ways, so cheerful every morning, I had to go follow him and find out where he worked. And this is where he worked. And I'll let it be a surprise for the listener, but his name is Ori Tucker. It's a true character. And I did get in touch with him later and gave him copies of this music. And when he passed, this song was actually played at his memorial service.
Oh, that's so sweet. Let's listen to 10 Cents a Ride.
Okay.
What's the use of a dream if forgotten, if you can't live it or give it away? I always wanted to be a cowboy, riding the range all day. For years I worked in the city, doing odd jobs and selling door to door. But then I packed in the best and I headed west. I don't have to dream anymore. 10 cents a ride. The Pinto, Palomino, or Bay. Come, kids, and gather round me and ride with a cowboy today. We'll pretend we're up in Wyoming, so buckle on down with care, and I'll show you the best of the Wild West when you come to the county. Red shirt and these jeans. There was a time when the shirt had rhinestones, but they got lost in some washing machine. Every year I think we'll be the last one, let us settle down in a career. But then I see the surprise in a child's eyes, and I know that my dream. The Pinto, Palomino, or Bay. Come, kids, and gather around me and ride with the cowboy today. We'll pretend we're up in Wyoming, so buckle on down with care, and I'll show you the best of the Wild West when you come to the county.
Guy. That's what I love about your music. I can just see the stuff that you write about. You amaze me.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, he had this little red shirt on. He was a sort of a scrawny guy, you know, in his 60s at the time. And he was just skipping along, going on down to his job to give rice. Can you imagine having that for a job? What a joy that would be.
Oh, my gosh. To see all this. Mostly children are gleefully squealing, not out of fear.
Well, yeah, you know, they love it. It's their first experience of getting to be on a horse.
Yep.
And anyway, so that's a special song. And it also, it's a metaphor for really finding work that is of service to others and brings a joy to your heart. I think that's what
yes.
the song to me is about.
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you told us that your, you know, music was sort of introduced to you and kind of started blossoming for you as a child in the choir at your church.
Mm-hmm.
So where... at what point did it start taking on, you know, this more significance so that you thought, man, I might just want to do this for a living?
Well, you know,
my mom
played piano, and she had a collection of old sheet music from the 30s and 40s. And our favorite time spent together was sitting on the piano bench, and she would say, come over, let's play piano. We'd find a time. And she'd open up this beautiful sheet music, very ornate and filigree and pretty, and she would play the chords and play the melody, but she couldn't read the lyrics at the same time. So my job was to sing along and figure out how it went. And
wow.
I was really little at the time. I was probably 8 years old when I started doing that. And I started reading the words and trying to see the notes. And so while I was doing this, I was looking at the title of the song, and then I would see these names under to the right and to the left of the title, and I said, Mom, what are those names? She goes, those are the people who wrote the song. And I went, oh. And I thought to myself, that's what I want to do. I want to write music like that. I want to, because singing with her and playing with her was such a joy, and it would just lifted us both. And it was fun, and it just felt so good. I thought, for to be the one to write that kind of music, what a gift that would be. And so that was the birth of wanting to do it. Being able to do it, the whole other thing. And I took guitar lessons. My mother drove me to all my guitar lessons, and she would drive me to this little coffee house on Friday and Saturday nights when I was in high school, where I got to hear local songwriters. So this is where people like Jackson Browne and Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and some of the local people who were just starting out, didn't have record deals yet, and they would play these little coffee houses. No alcohol served, so I could go when I was like 13, 14, 15.
Right.
And so I heard these people writing their own, singing their own songs, and it was a revelation because I could see that they were... they had access to this emotion, and they could tell their story in a real poetic way. And I found it very healing because they were being honest and sharing their story. And I thought, oh, that's a way. This is an example of people who are writing. Okay, I can do that. And that's when I started writing when I was 15, trying to emulate these other writers. And But the truth is, you could only write what you know. So I would, you know, write what I knew. So, growing up on the farm and all that sort of informed what I was doing. But I remember, I went off to school and studied to be a school teacher and all that. And I did 5 years of college and did all the, you know, the good daughter stuff. And my mother, and I couldn't get a job, and it's sort of a long story, but it has to do with the economy at the time, and there were no jobs in teaching at the time, and the schools were cutting back on their budgets. And so I was in tears, and my mom said, well, where do you want to work? I think of something else. And I said, I want to work, you know, at a coffee house somewhere, like McCabe's Guitar Shop in Santa Monica, because the one that was in San Clemente that I used to go to closed. So anyway, so I ended up going there and getting a job, And again, surrounded by other songwriters. And you really need to be around them and feel their ambition, and it sort of seeps off to you, you know. And I made some close friendships that I have to this day with other writers, and we encourage each other. So I would say to become a songwriter, you need a community, and you need to seek them out and maintain friendships and create a support system.
Wow. Good advice for aspiring songwriters. Find a community and soak them up.
Soak them up. And it's a very gratifying thing to job. I don't call it a job, but it's a very gratifying thing to do. And the I never intended to be a singer. I just always wanted to be the writer. But I figured out pretty early that to get my song heard, I'd have to sing it on a demo. So I was going to have to learn how to sing. And then I decided, well, who do I give the demos to? So I decided to sing them in public. And that's when, you know, Gene Prescott heard me and people started hearing stuff. So that worked out pretty good.
It
sort of accidentally.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, Western music is richer for your presence and the presence of your music in it. So it's just a blessing to all of us. And now I would like to get back to talk about blessings.
Yes.
I didn't realize until I read the bio that you sent me that you had cared for your parents, both of them, in the last years of their life.
Yes.
And that is, I grew up and we cared for my grandmother and we cared for the lady that raised my dad. And so that's, I know something of that and how rewarding that can be, but I would love to hear your experience with your folks.
Well, my mother unfortunately developed a very rare form of cancer, luckily not inheritable, but I think the next song we're going to play is about this, but she felt very resigned to. She said, well, I've always wanted to go to heaven and be with Jesus, so I'm just going to go. And she sort of let go. And I said, no, wait, you haven't seen a doctor yet. You need to see an oncologist and see if this is benign or malignant. And she was eager to go, but I convinced her we needed to see an oncologist and the agreement was that I would take her to all her appointments and be with her at all the and help her navigate the world, the healthcare world, because it's very overwhelming.
It is.
And so I did that, and she had another year and a half on Earth with us, and she was able to go in a more gradual way and say goodbye to everybody in a softer way rather than abrupt way. So. It was, and 10 years later, and when she did pass, you know, I went through my grieving process and then I was able to, go on with my life. That's when I moved to Nashville. But then my father became ill 10 years later and I did help him with his, healthcare and, navigated that world. But what I have to say about the experience is, well, I did write about both those experiences quite a bit in my songs. Not all have been recorded, but they're personal. But the experiences, truly, I wouldn't have believed it, but the depth of despair and feeling lost about, like, dealing with a parent passing, each of those experiences truly, truly deepened my spiritual life and for the rest of my life. It opened up this big space in me because of the grief, because I had to dig deep to find God in my life every day to survive going in to see the oncologist again or going into chemotherapy treatment or whatever we were dealing with, you know. So in a funny way, I'm not grateful that they went through the pain, but I'm very, very grateful that I had the ability, the mental strength, the emotional strength to be with them both through that experience because my life is so much richer from knowing about that part of life, to know about death, you know.
Yes, wow. Well, and the song that we're getting ready to do, and now I know you wrote this about your mom, is that correct?
Yes, this is about the phone call when she said, I'm going to go, it's time for me to go. And and after this phone call, you know, I called her back and said, just try a little bit more before you go, you know, try.
Wow.
The treatment.
Well, yes. Well, let's listen to And Now I Know.
My mother laid out her cotton dress. It hadn't been this hot for a while. And as she stood there in the shade, I took a last picture of her smile. I asked her
cry, Belinda.
You're making me cry. Oh, and I kept thinking as I was listening to this song when that you said, you know, when your mother got the news, it wasn't like, oh, we need to see a doctor, I need to get treatment. It's like,
no.
You know, I've always wanted to go to heaven and see Jesus.
Yeah.
So now's as good a time as any. And I'm like, oh, we should all be so
She was pretty excited. And I had to really talk her out of it. I don't know if I did the right thing or not.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something? I mean, we know it's always coming for all of us. You know, it's just how it's going to happen. You know,
right.
So,
how
it's been. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's a precious tribute to your mom. A beautiful song. And I would imagine it's very comforting to some people, too, that hear it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, when you experience it new, it's really a shocker, and it's always helpful to get some feedback or hear how other people survived it, you know. And it,
right.
You really need to be. It again goes back to community, and I think that's what I have found with music and musicians in general. It has become a community that's spread out across the states, you know.
It is
very supportive and loving.
It is, and there's nothing like that support when you're trying, like you said, to navigate through really troubling times like that, and just through the despair and the sorrow from a loss like that, and you need people to kind of keep you shored up so you don't go off the drift. And our musical family, especially the Western music family, is pretty doggone solid. It's pretty cool.
I'm lucky. I'm lucky I even got involved on the bottom rung. A friend of mine, Mike Mahaney, just called me and said, hey, you've got 10 Cents a Ride. That's a Western song. You need to go. You need to go to, they're going to have this meeting. They're going to start this organization and you have to be there. And I just was trusting and went back as often as I could every year to the organization.
That's good.
Cool.
That's so cool. So now you were at we got to the coffee house, that far. And then where did it take off from there? I mean, you've been doing this for a lot of years now, went back to Nashville writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Your music is recorded by tons of people. You have like Grammy nominations. So, you know, kind of fast forward, bring us from the coffee house, you know, to where you are now.
Well, I was working at McCabe's in Santa Monica, and then I went from there to playing little clubs in L.A., trying to get my music out there. And here's this thing. All I knew was that it brought joy to me and to the listener to write and to sing. That's all I knew. And the rest is really up to, you know, God's plan. My experience in life is that, I can only say this more recently, but my experience in life is whatever I plan, God has an even better plan than I could have thought of. And because I don't think that big, you know, but I just wanted to be able to sing my songs. I went to a songwriting, folk festival in Texas, and met other writers there from Texas and all over the United States. And I realized there's a lot of people in every state who are doing this. And I met people who had moved to Nashville to try to get work doing this. And I thought, well, that would be the ultimate way to be heard, is to see if anyone's interested in my songs. And I was told I needed to move there to do that. So I did. In 96, and it was after my mother had passed a couple of years, and I finally went. And a great learning place, made the tons of friends that I have to this day. And what I heard when I was in Nashville were all the other ambitious and aspiring songwriters playing out at the little clubs in town trying to get heard as well, and the quality of songwriting was so refined there that it forced me to go back to my little house in Nashville there and write every day and try to hone something that was as well crafted and yet as moving and as meaningful as what I had just heard. And so that was the challenge, was to write as well as I could. And and towards the end of my stay there, my father started getting, that's when my father got ill, so I had to go back and forth a lot. And eventually I did come back to California after 9 years out there. And and I got what I needed to in Nashville. You know, what I got was the support and the acknowledgement that what I was doing was great. And it may or may not be what the market in Nashville specifically wanted, but they gave me their skills. They taught me to write. Mm. So I was very grateful that came back home. But in the meantime, I kept going back to the Western Music Association, making sure that I was a part of the organization, contributing, showing up every year, singing every year. So I've had 25, 26 different cuts of my songs over the years now.
Wow.
So just gradually, year after year, different artists would hear it and record it, and that was very encouraging. While I was in Nashville, I learned how to run my own publishing company and how to promote songs and my record, and I studied how to design my own website, and I even designed my own album cover with Quark Express. And wrote all the songs and put it out, and that's the song full of Western songs called If I Hadn't Seen the West.
Wow.
And, you know, it's so funny. After I wrote, I was in Nashville when I wrote this song, If I Hadn't Seen the West, and after I wrote it, I was weeping just from missing the Southwest. I love driving back and forth from Nashville to California because of getting to see the beautiful Southwest. Well, anyway, I'd written this song, and after I finished it, I just was weeping from the healing, you know, of feeling homesick and wanting to go home and go see my dad, who was ill. And that's when I decided I need to move back and be with him, go back to California, go back to San Juan Capistrano, and I did. And it was just the perfect timing. I got to join the California chapter of the Western Music Association, which was really growing. So that was back in 2005 I came back. And they're a very substantial chapter with a lot of activities and camaraderie. And we all get to play at the Gene Autry Museum in L.A. Every third Sunday. And we've become quite a family, quite a group. So that turned out really well, and I still write and still play here and there. So that's what's up.
That's so cool. So how has your faith, you know, I've gotten some pieces, but how would you say your faith has really guided you through this whole process?
Oh, you know it was. You know, when I was in Nashville, I kept trying for one thing, which I really wanted to get a publisher to work with me to get a country artist to do some of my songs. That was, I thought, was going to be my goal, you know. And I had to pray for accepting the way things are and to be guided to the next right thing to do. Just to be and to accept that this is fine. This is a part of God's plan, even though it wasn't what I planned, you know. And by accepting it, and also going back to, you know, honor thy father and mother. I moved back to take care of my dad, and accepting that going back to California wasn't about losing my dream. It was about taking the next step to what was in store for me. I don't know.
Wow.
Hard to put it in words, but it turned out to be the best thing I could do, because the western part of the states, especially the Southwest, loves Western music, and that's when when people started recording a lot of stuff, because I was around more, and I would play more of the cowboy poetry and music gatherings and get more exposure, and people people like Journey West recorded my songs, Liz Masterson, Rex Rideout, Judy Coder, Tumbleweed Rob, all these people started recording my songs because they heard it. So it wouldn't have, this part of my career wouldn't have happened if I stayed in Nashville. And but the fact that I could let go and move on and trust that God had a bigger plan for me.
Wow.
And I would say, you know, prayer and meditation in the mornings, I'm just going to put that out there, are very important for setting the tone of the day.
Yes, I agree with that.
So that it's not about how come I don't get what I want. It's about, you know, how can I be of service in this situation? What can I do to help? And
right.
Just a little side story. I don't know if you have time, but there's a little side
sure.
story. I had been when I moved back to this town, I had an opportunity to meet my old kindergarten teacher, and who I adored when I was a kid, and was very instrumental in me falling in love with school. And I went over to her house to thank her for being my favorite teacher, you know, and got to be reacquainted with her. And we got to be friends. And 2 years later, she unfortunately suffered some TIAs and developed dementia. And so to help the daughter, I would walk over every day and open her lunch and make sure she got her lunch ready and everything, and then walk back to my house because she lived just around the corner from me. And so I did that for about 2 years in a row. So, you know, God, in my heart, of course, would say, what can I do for you on earth? You know, and this is what I could do for him. And I very much felt his presence as I walked there, as I went in and made her lunch ready. I felt God's presence, and I knew it was the right thing to do. And fast forward 2 or 3 more years, I got very involved in hiring more workers, caregivers to come in, and I took over management of the whole house and her finances, and I work with the daughter. And 2 years ago, I moved into the house to live with her and to make sure that she's safe, and I spend the night every night. The days I have off, the evenings and nights, I sleep here and I watch and make sure she's safe.
Wow.
And it's just been a joy. And I know in my heart this is where I'm meant to be. So,
wow.
And I have songs about her too. Her name's Colleen. And I write about her and her situation. And every day I am thankful to be guided. I was guided to her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how God works on my life. I can feel God working my life that way.
Wow. Well, I love that. And I love about the doing the right thing. I mean, that is so, that's so spot on. Oh, gosh. Well, we're going to listen now to the song that you referenced earlier that happens to be one of my favorites, If I Hadn't Seen the West. And I remember the first time I heard this song, you had just written it. We were at a Christmas party or a New Year's party. I can't remember. A Christmas party, I think, at the Hummels, some dear friends of ours.
Yes, I remember that night. Yes.
And we were had a little song circle going on, and everybody's sharing their music. And you said, "I've just finished writing this one," and our dear, friend Curly Musgrave, the late Curly Musgrave, was an incredible guitarist. And you started playing, and then he started adding all these beautiful runs and just circling around what you were doing vocally and what you were doing with your guitar, and it was probably one of the most magical, ethereal moments in music for me. And, I mean, the whole room, if you remember, was just spellbound. And, I mean, when you finished, nobody moved. Nobody said anything. Nobody clapped. They just kind of, until our friend Valita let out this big expletive, like, well, good. Everybody laughed, but there was nobody wanted to break this moment, the spell. It was just so beautiful. So I am really really glad you sent me this as one of your song choices for us to play today, and I'm so eager. And this went on to win Song of the Year with the Western Music Association. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous song, and I'm so eager to share If I Hadn't Seen the West.
If I hadn't seen the crimson sunset turn the world to a shimmering dream, if I hadn't heard the canyon towhee bird sing his song for me, wide open spaces that fill me up and leave me feeling blessed. Oh, I could have lived any place in the world if I hadn't seen the west. There's a river that spills through Sedona's hills where the red rock looks over the green. Above Santa Fe, hills of space is the bluest sky that I've ever seen. Canyons that echo back to me, say your wandering heart can rest. Oh, I could have lived any place in the world. I hadn't seen the west.
Love that song.
I do. I love it. I do. Oh, and I feel so blessed, Joyce, that I've gotten to record some of your music. And on my latest album, I have Palomino Pal, which is such a neat song about friendship.
Yes.
And he sang for me, which I was so thrilled when the Western Music Association nominated that for Song of the Year for you. And I think it should have won, but I had a biased opinion.
You did a fabulous job on both those songs. Your voice just soars on those.
Oh, thank you.
Especially he sang for me. You soar.
Oh, it was, I had so much fun with that. And I just, that song is, I don't know how you can sing that song and not get emotional. It's just such a gorgeous song. And talking about Roy Rogers. And I was so thrilled that Cheryl Rogers, who we just had on the show a couple of weeks ago, in her new book, she has the entire lyrics printed out. She was
She sent me a copy of the book. I am so thrilled. I'm a part of history now. I bragged to all my friends that I'm in the book about Roy Rogers. Oh, my God.
I know, and I think that if I remember right, I think even Dusty has picked up the song and he's starting to sing it now. Dusty Jr. That's what I've heard. That's the rumor that I've heard. So I can't substantiate it.
He could do such a great job with that song.
Oh, yes, And it was a beautiful, beautiful song, and it's just such a blessing to have your music and to have you in my life as a friend. I mean, I just enjoy you so much. Just thank you so much for being on the show. And
it's a joy knowing you, Belinda. You are a blessing in my life. You know that. I just want to let you know again.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate that. And I want people to bless you by buying your albums and seeking you out on your website. And you have videos out there and all kinds of cool stuff. So please share with us where people can find you online.
I have YouTube videos of some songs, like 5 or 6 songs. You can listen and see what I look like and how I sing and what fabulous cowboy clothes I wear and stuff. And I love the whole culture of the cowboy music world. And then my website, joycewoodson.com, basically. If you want a place, I'm also available with cdbaby.com. I don't know if anyone knows that.
Yes, you have to buy your albums.
Yeah, you can buy. I have 3 albums. And
you're on Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. Thanks for reminding me.
Great.
And I try to put up a picture here and there when I do shows or something. And I have a picture of myself with John Knowles there right now. He and I just did a show Saturday in West L.A. So he's a wonderful finger picker who worked with Chet Atkins for most of his life, and is a wonderful artist. So anyway, Facebook. So email me, say hello, joyce@joycewoodson.com.
I hope everybody, lots and lots of people get in touch with you, because I just am enthralled with your voice and just love you as a person. And we're going to close with a song that you wrote called The Question.
Yes.
And you want to set that up for us?
Oh, gosh, a good friend of mine who I know from Los Angeles, who worked at the guitar shop I worked at, and he considered himself an atheist. And I just was like so surprised at that, because he spent every spare day or weekend hiking in the High Sierras and just adoring nature and the experiences he had in the world. And he loved being outside and outdoors. And I just wrote this as like, don't you know who made this? Don't you know? Don't you even intuitively know who made this? So that's what this is about. The question. Who made this?
Great.
This is the question.
And that's what we're going to listen. Thanks again for being with us, Joyce. And now we're going to listen to the question.
Okay.
Ever walked in the desert at dawn? Seems everything's lit from within. by the sun. The smallest flower, the cliffs that tower, the cactus trees make me wonder. Gurgling brook that skips and laughs through its days. The old mother quail crosses my trail, then scurries away. The mountains grand, a distant stand of aspen trees. Stars, a mixture of ice and earth and rock. If it's all happenstance, then explain why my heart leaps to see a shooting star. The way that shadows turn to blue at twilight's return. The far horizon you swear you can see, the curve of the earth. The song of the sagebrush as the wind sighs and breathes. Don't you wonder?
Joyce on the show today, and what a gorgeous song, and what a delight she is. I just was so fun getting to know her better myself, even though I thought I knew her pretty well, and then also to share her with you all. And I've always known that she is a very kind and giving person, but today, especially when we spoke about the way she cared for her parents and the lady that she's caring for now, I realize how deeply loving and selfless she truly is. Giving so much of herself because, as she said, it's the right thing to do. And that brings actually a scripture to mind. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." So what are things we can reap? I mean, there's always money things and things like that. And but with God, goodness, it's unlimited on what you can reap from our precious Lord. But for me, and I think for Joyce as well, one of the most important things would be the deep, joyful satisfaction that we have to make a positive difference in the lives of others. We never go wrong when we do the right thing, when we do good. No matter how much sense it may or may not make to those around us, doing good and doing the right thing is always the best thing. And I recently learned of a saying that's attributed to Mother Teresa that moved me so deeply that I decided to do some research on it. And I discovered that it was actually found written on the wall of Mother Teresa's home for children in Calcutta. And while their opinion is that it seems to be loosely based on a writing by Dr. Kent Keith called The Paradoxical Commandments, most of the second half had been completely rewritten in a much more spiritual way. And this is what they're attributing to Mother Teresa. And it's simply called Mother Teresa's Do It Anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous, but be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. You have, and it will never be enough. But give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Enough said, I think. Well, that is our show for today, and I am so delighted y'all could join us. Thank you for giving us the gift of your time. Thank you again to our very special guest, Joyce Woodson, for sharing so much of herself with us today. And, of course, a huge thank you to my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. And please remember, all of the fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app and take us on the go with you. So if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
In and out of hospitals, the days wore on. Then someone came to visit one rainy afternoon and changed my life with a song. I knew that day was special, and the nurses fussed about all us kids. We didn't know what to expect. He walked in with his guitar, no one made a sound. And he came and he sat down on my bed. And he sang for me, he sang for me. The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. And as long as I live, I believe he changed my life with a song when he sang for me.
was full of kids in the hospital that day. He shook my hand and winked and said, put her there. Then he sang for me. He sang for me. Greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. And as long as I live, I believe he changed my life with a song when he sang for me. I'll always remember he said it prays for me. Now that was long ago, and that day is with me still. I sing for kids in hospitals today. Though I don't have a horse, this old wheelchair gets me round. I've kept his picture he gave to me that day when he sang for me. He sang for me. The greatest man I'd ever meet was sitting right by me. And as long as I live, I believe he changed my life with his song when he sang for me. He sang for me.
Miss Kohl's 50% off sale going on now. You'll find 50% off throughout the store Thursday through Saturday. Like 50% off sweaters and outerwear for the family. And everyone gets $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Plus, Kohl's Yes to You Rewards members take an extra 20% off and earn triple points. Not a member? Enroll at Kohl's.com/rewards and start earning today. Kohl's, select styles, some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.